All right, let's take our Bibles and turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 11. Matthew, chapter 11. This is a passage of Scripture that I feel the Lord has moved upon my heart again to speak from. And we've considered it many times. It's a passage of hope, a word from the Lord. It's this, the Lord's instruction to his people. Come to me. Come to me. Matthew 11, 28 to 30 says this, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. I want to really consider those three words, come unto me. The Lord in Matthew 11 had actually disgraced some cities where many of his miracles had been performed because they would not repent. That's what he says in verse 20. Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done because they repented not, because there was no change of mind. Now, a change of mind is something that only the Lord can do, but it does not excuse a man for not repenting. God's going to have to do something. But the Lord, he reproached them to not believe. Now listen, to not believe. What's the worst crime in this world? What's the worst crime? Here it is. To not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's worse. Do you know that to not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ is soul damning? He that believeth on the Son hath life. He that believeth not on the Son hath not life. And the wrath of God abideth on him. What's the worst thing? Murder? Murder? To not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Scripture says in verse 21, he said to these places where many of his miracles were done, woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida, for if the mighty works were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. Woe. That word woe is damnation. Woe. Damnation. Woe unto you, Chorazin and Bethsaida. You know Bethsaida. That's where Philip, Andrew, and Peter, three of his apostles, that's where they were from. God called them out of that place. If the mighty works were done in you, that had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented. I look at verse 23. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which were done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. That scripture has always amazed me. If the mighty works that were done in you, where you are, had been done in Sodom, and God destroyed that city, if they were done there, he said it would have still remained to this day. But he said in verse 22 and verse 24, respectively, concerning those cities, but I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. And concerning Capernaum, verse 24, I say that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. It's going to be more tolerable for them than it will be for you. Because the mighty works that were done in where you are. I think about this little church right here. I've said before, Katy Baptist Church. Where in the world, I've said this so many times, where in the world is Katy, West Virginia? Where in the world is that? It's a blip. It's a bump in the highway. That's all it is. I mean, you go through Katy, if you're driving, you know, speed limit. I mean, you're in and out. But God was pleased to raise up a church here 65 plus years ago. And has kept the gospel of God's free and sovereign grace here. And preached the gospel in this place. And blessed this unworthy sinner to even be here. I'm not worthy. I'm not. God put me here. And made me to be one with you. And the mighty works that's been done. I'm looking at some folks that God's called out of darkness. The mighty works that were done in this little place right here. And you've pleased to leave other places with no witness. That's a miracle. Then after the Lord rebuked them for their unbelief. Oh, the horror of unbelief. Then he said in verse 25, and as soon as he got through rebuking, upbraiding him, and then he said in verse 25, now he's praying. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and has revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. Here he is, he's praying. And this is the Lord. This is the Lord. We hear his words, and what we do is we bow. Whatever he says, we bow. I thank thee. He told them, he said, if the mighty work's done here, we've been done there, they would have remained. It's going to be more tolerable for them than for you. And then he said, now you talk about sovereign. Now here's sovereignty. I thank thee, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you hid these things. What things? The things that he was just talking about. The mighty works. I thank you that you've been pleased to hide these things. Hide the gospel of God's grace. If the Lord is silent, and does he have the right to be silent? Listen, I'm going to tell you something. These things are hard against the flesh, aren't they, Neil? They're hard. I know it. But it doesn't change the fact that the Lord said them. Father, I thank you that you've been pleased to hide these things, these secret things from those that believe themselves to be capable. If God doesn't come to a man, David said, you know, if you're silent to me, be not silent to me. Lord, don't be silent to me. Because if you're silent to me, I'm going to be as those that go down to the pit. God, speak to my heart. Lord, have mercy on me. I need mercy. I thank you. You've hidden these things from the wise and prudent, and you've revealed them unto babes. Why? Well, because it seemed good in your sight. It seemed good in your sight. Now this is God. This is who God is. This is God. When I tell you he's not a beggar, If you ever hear somebody say, the Lord wants to, I've said before, if the Lord wants to, he does. He don't ask nobody's opinion. I don't know if that's good English, but you got it. He does not appeal to man's will. God is God. It seemed good in thy sight. Moses said, show me your glory. The Lord said, here's my glory. I will have mercy on whom I'll have mercy. I'll have compassion on whom I'll have compassion. Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, have compassion on me. And then he said in verse 27, now he's speaking to those that's standing there. He says, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Concerning his right to reveal or to withhold precious knowledge, that's in the hands of God. I told you about that one in my family again. I don't even like to tell you if they're male or female. But if somebody in my family, and that truth was spoken to them. God does as he will. He can give knowledge or withhold knowledge. And this person found in my family said, then your God is my devil. I said, well, this is the one you're going to stand before. This is the one you're going to have to give an account to. This is the one you're going to have to answer before. This is God. My recommendation is bow. 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 All things are delivered unto me. Then he says, verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come unto me. Now let me just say this. I'm going to try to be brief. Don't walk down the aisle. I've told you before, the only difference in me and you is 20, 30 feet. Don't come down the aisle. Don't come and kneel at the altar. You never find that in the Scriptures. No. Show me one time in the Scriptures where anybody ever walked down an aisle. Every day and fell down before, you know, some altar. This is just wood and carpet all up here. Coming to Christ has nothing to do with a physical act of a man's being. It's an act of faith in the heart. It's in the heart. Coming to him is not turning over a new leaf and straighten up and fly right and stuff. I can do that. I can do that. I can fool you. I can pretend and smile. Faith in Christ is the gift of God. It's given unto you to believe. Lord, give me faith. Lord, give me faith. It's the action of a new nature. Does a man believe in order to be saved, or does he believe because God saved him? Let me give you the answer. He believes because God's given him faith to believe. Before a man or woman, they're dead spiritually. Does a baby breathe for the first time to become alive? Or does a baby breathe at birth because the baby's alive? Well, breathing is an evidence of life. Life is there. Life in a sinner is given, and they believe. Brother Henry Mahan says, which comes first, life or belief? He said, you can't even separate them. You can't separate them. God's people believe because God's made them alive. Faith in Christ, coming to me. What happens when a man or woman is, by the grace of God, made to come to the Lord? What they do is they leave or they forsake all former confidence in self-righteous acts or works. I got saved back you know, years ago. I've said before, that's all water under the bridge. Do you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ right now? That's all that matters. That's all that matters. Do I believe him right now? Do I need him right now? Do I need him to save me right now? I got saved years ago. A believer's converted in time, and there is a point where they the Spirit of God comes and they're regenerated. They're delivered out of darkness, unbelief, and light of the gospel. There's a point. But I'm telling you, they're being saved right now. God's got to save me right now. I called on the Lord. I'm going to tell you something. A believer's got to call on the Lord now, right now. I came to the Lord. He that cometh unto me. A believer never quits coming to the Lord. He's coming right now. Come unto me, he said. All ye that labor and are heavy laden. All of you that's been quickened to life in Christ and now see by nature the burden of the failures in themselves. Don't you that know him, doesn't it just weigh on you? Doesn't it just weigh on you because of the failure you see in yourself? I want to trust him. I trust him, but I want to trust him. I need him. Lord, help me. Help me. All you that are laboring and are heavy laden, may them to see themselves as weighting down with the presence of this old man. I get so tired of myself. I get so outdone with me. I've got a desire to hear again that peace and reconciliation with God's been accomplished through the blood of Christ. Tell me that one more time. I need to hear it. Oh, laboring and being heavy laden is the result. Laboring and being heavy laden with myself is a result of the grace of God. Why? Because it's that I've sinned against the Lord. The Lord. I've told you before, criminals that are caught, they're sorry because they got caught. That's the only reason. You know, they come before a judge, they were caught, they were arraigned, they were, you know, they've been gone and they come in and now they're, you know, I'm so sorry, please forgive me. Well, yeah, you got caught. But until they got caught, they weren't. David, King David, said this in Psalm 51. Have mercy upon me, O Lord. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight. That prodigal son came back, told his daddy, I've sinned against heaven, and I've done it. I've done it right in front of you. I've been so disrespectful. I've spoken so disrespectfully. God, forgive me. Lord, have mercy. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and listen to this promise, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. Rest of a heavy heart is given, not earned, not worked up. This rest, I will give you rest. I will give you rest. I'll settle your heart. Come to me. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 9 to 11. There's right now, God's people, we're heavy laden, burdened down with what we see in ourselves. In a believer, there's a spirit of just, I want to settle down. I want to. Listen to this rest. So Hebrews 4, verse 9 to 11. There remaineth therefore a rest, a Sabbath, to the people of God. For he that entereth into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Let's labor. There's a rest. There's a rest right now from the bondage of thinking that my works for salvation is why God has had mercy upon me. There's a rest from that. God delivers us from that. But there's a rest that's coming for the people of God. And you know, the older a man gets, older a woman gets, I'm convinced. I used to hear people say this, and I think I'm starting to believe it. After a while, you start getting older. You start getting tired. You think about going home. You think about leaving this world. You think about that rest from the labors, the burdens of this world. He said, labor to enter in. Labor. Hasten, make haste, exert yourselves to give diligence to rest as we grow in grace. There is a future rest. A believer right now knows something about rest by faith. But one day, there's coming a time when he's going to see it by sight. He's going to leave this world. And that blessing of resting, there is a rest for the people of God. It's only going to be known when we leave this world. So therefore, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. We pray that Almighty God would move upon the hearts of his people. I pray this for you. Pray this for me. Lord, grant me a heart, a knowledge to come to you. You are the great shepherd of the sheep. And we're walking through this world. We're struggling. Lord, to hear you say, come unto me. Again, not to the front, not to the preacher, not to the baptismal pool. He knows our troubles. He knows our trials and afflictions because he sent them. He sent them. He worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. He was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. He knows. He knows. There's a day coming. He says right now to his people, come. Come to me. Come to me. I think about when a little child just starting to walk a little bit. He's struggling a little bit. He just kind of staggering all around, trying to get his legs, you know, a little bit of strength in them. Now, what does this mean? What does this mean? You say, come here. Come on. Come to me. What you're trying to do is you're beckoning them. Now, this is the Lord. Come to me. Come unto me. There's coming a time when that final blessed come before there's an entering. Listen to this. In the day of God's judgment, he says to the sheep, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Three precious words of hope for a needy sinner. Come unto me. This promise, I will give you rest. Don't you want that? I do. I pray God give it to us for his glory, I could.